You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What is going on, Laker fans? Thank you very much for tuning in. Appreciate it. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. We got a stacked show tonight, Curtis. Stacked show. I don't even think 2 hours is going to be enough here, but we'll do our best. Dave McMenamin coming up at 7:30. Mike Bresnahan from Spectrum Sportsnet coming up at 8:30. I want to actually go off real quick on just kind of continue that conversation. Sedano and Cap were just having. So, listen, this is just kind of the stance I've had the last couple of weeks. And I get it. I understand that when a team goes on a losing streak and, you know, one of the top five players in the NBA, the best two-way player in the league, is dealing with an injury that's a calf strain, Achilles, whatever you want to call it, I get that there's going to be a lot of concern. But the thing that has kind of kept me even keel in this whole thing has simply been it's just too early, as in there's plenty of time before we get to the playoffs. I think it's like 80 days before we get to the postseason. So that's kind of been my personal theme these last couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, Dennis Schroeder was out on top of Anthony Davis. I don't think the Lakers really had much of a shot when they went on that four-game losing streak. So this is obviously the first Lakers talk show I've done since Lakers had lost four games in a row. And now you see these last couple of games, Dennis Schroeder comes back. So I want to just kind of spend a little bit of time on this. And you could feel free to chime in, 877-710-ESPN. How do you feel about where the Lakers are? Because the next time I get to do one of these shows, we'll be at the All-Star break. And we'll be halfway through the season. We'll be 37 games in. Lakers sitting at 24-11 right now. How do you feel about where the Lakers are at this point of the season? For me, I think they're in a great spot. I genuinely believe that. I really, really think, just kind of taking everything into consideration, take some of these into consideration real quick. You lost 5 of 6 games. You lost 4 in a row. This was just within the last couple of weeks. Anthony Davis has been out of 12 of the 35 games played so far. That's 32% of your games you've played without Anthony Davis. 32% of your games have been without Anthony Davis so far. We know he's going to obviously miss at least the next two. We'll see what happens after the All-Star break. I would expect him to miss at least another week after that. Keep all that into consideration. It was the shortest offseason in NBA history because you came off a championship. It was in the Orlando bubble. NBA was trying to get things up and running again. They decided December 22nd. They didn't take into consideration teams like the Lakers in Miami, but it is what it is. This is a business. It's a corporation. At the end of the day, they're obviously trying to maximize their profits. Keep all of that in mind. Now, do me a favor. Go to ESPN.com and go look at the NBA standings. Go to ESPN.com and don't even type in the Western Conference. Put in the league. So you see every team in the Eastern Conference thrown into the mix. You see every team in the Western Conference. Do you know where the Lakers sit right now? They have the second best record in the NBA, even after that four-game losing streak, even after 5 of 6 losses, even after Anthony Davis misses 32% of the season, even after Dennis Schroeder misses 4 straight games because of health and safety protocols, and even after that short offseason. When I say I think the Lakers are in a great spot, I genuinely believe it. You know, I wouldn't be surprised or shocked right now if Lakers were further back in the standings. They have some excuses to be further back in the standings, but they're 24-11. And to have the second best record in the NBA, to be ahead of the Clippers and to be ahead of Brooklyn and to be ahead of Philadelphia, I'm mixing in everybody, right? Throw everybody in the mix. and give credit to the Utah Jazz, what they've accomplished this season. It's been amazing. It really has. But the Clippers are not in second place. Neither are the Nets. Neither are the Bucks or the Suns or some of these other teams that are having good seasons, or you just assume we're going to have good seasons. The Lakers. Lakers, second best record in the NBA. By the way, I'm also the one kind of barking around saying that I don't think these games are all that important right now. And what I'm referring to is I don't think the standings will be a make or break for the Lakers. I don't. I think that even if they have to go on the road in the first round, not in the first, hopefully, of course, not the first round, but even if they have to go on the road, let's say in the second round, and that's not to say that the road isn't going to be difficult. That's not to say that I don't want the Lakers to win these regular season games, but it's really tough to win games when you're missing Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder. When they got Dennis Schroeder back on Friday against Portland, I even tweeted out before the game. I said, I think Lakers are winning this game. And I did feel like everything was going to change. You're never going to replace Anthony Davis. But missing Dennis Schroeder on top of that, I just don't think the Lakers had a shot in some of those games. So that's why I've been less worried about the position that the Lakers are in. I actually think they're in a fantastic position, a fantastic spot. It's not, and you know, when I say this, by no means am I trying to say that this is a perfect team, because it's not. You know, by no means am I trying to say, of course, health is going to be everything, but health is everything for every team out there, right? If the Clippers, if Kawhi misses significant amount of games, or there's some question marks about him or Paul George or something along those lines, yeah, Clippers' chances are they're going to go out the window. And you could say that about Brooklyn. You could say that about Philly if they lost Embiid or Ben Simmons, or you know, the Utah Jazz if Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert, one of those key players, can't go for a stretch for, you know, one of those two teams. So health will, of course, be the main thing for every team out there. The good thing, if you're a Laker fan right now, we're sitting in March. It's March 1st right now. Playoffs don't start till, I think, the third week of May, which means you have over 2.5 months to get right and to get healthy. And when I say the team's not perfect, you know, I've talked about this. I still think the Lakers need a rim protector, having an additional 3-and-D guy, a veteran, somebody that's been there, has done it before, has had those playoff runs where they've got a ton of experience. All that would be fantastic. All of that. So it's not a perfect team. And I actually think, you know, I'm one that thinks that the competition this year is much tougher than it was a year ago. And the Lakers, if they ended up in a second or third seed, just as an example, and Utah ended up with a number one seed, it means you got to go through, potentially, right, a team like Portland or Dallas or Golden State in the first round. Heck, maybe even Denver, with the way Denver's been playing. And then in the second round, you'd have to face the Clippers. You got to beat those two teams just to get to the Western Conference Finals, where probably Utah would be waiting. And if Utah's waiting there, they have home court. And then on the other side of it, what if Brooklyn's healthy with Kevin Durant and James Harden, and they make some moves? It's going to be a challenge this year, and I don't think the team is, you know, perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's tough for me to get concerned about this Lakers team this early in the season when you just know there's two incredibly important pieces that weren't in that mix for that four-game losing streak. I think Lakers are in a great spot to go back-to-back. We'll see what happens. We'll see how things eventually play out. But, I mean, if you'd have told me before the season started that the Lakers had the second-best record in the NBA at this point of the season, you know, getting close to the halfway mark, which I'm not going to underestimate how important these next two games are coming up for the Lakers, just to kind of close out, you know, close out the first half of the schedule. But with all that in mind, I'd have been incredibly content with the Lakers, because I also didn't think that, you know, they would be playing for home court. They would be, the big picture would be in mind the entire time. You know, you'd kind of have it in your mind, that mindset would be, okay, we just got to be healthy and whole for the playoffs, and everything else in between is not all that big of a deal. Okay, let me set a couple things up here. Phone number is 877-710-ESPN. What do you think of the Lakers spot right now? Just overall, we're two games away from the All-Star break. What do you like? What are some things that you're concerned about? However you want to look at this Lakers team, We'll do that coming up here, 877-710-ESPN. And the other thing that I want to make mention of, Phoenix and Sacramento. So these are the next two games for the Lakers before we get to the break. Phoenix tomorrow, the Kings coming up on Wednesday. So you got back-to-back games there. Man, the Lakers can get some incredible momentum going into the break if they can close out these two games with W's. I thought the Portland win was fantastic. You held Portland to 93 points. I thought beating Golden State yesterday, what were you up by, 35 at one point, something along those lines. They contained Damian Lillard in the second half. They contained Stephen Curry for the entire game. And now you got, in my opinion, a dogfight tomorrow against the Phoenix Suns, because you know Phoenix, this game means everything to them. This is the biggest game that they're going to play, at least in the first half of the schedule so far this year. And they're only a game and a half back in the standings of the Lakers. Chris Paul, you can, you could obviously depend on Chris Paul to have that Phoenix Suns team ready. Devin Booker looks ridiculous. So that's a dogfight tomorrow. And I thought Michael Thompson said something interesting in the pregame show yesterday, talking about the Sacramento Kings. That's the last game before the break. Basically said, look, you know, that's usually one of the toughest games. It's the game before the All-Star break. You're mentally, you're in a position where you're sitting there saying to yourself, I'm going to work, but I might already be on vacation. And it's a Sacramento Kings team that's struggling. I think they lost 10 of 11 games, so you feel like you could just kind of walk in there and they'll fold. So that actually might be the trap game for the Lakers. We'll talk about that coming up next. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about Dennis Schroeder. We'll take some of your phone calls as well. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
710 ESPN. More Lakers talk right now.
We got a quick look at Damian Jones. Ended up playing 8 minutes for the Lakers. 8 points.
Lakers up by 29. There's Damian Jones with an alley-oop.
Tell you, man, he can get up.
Couple block shots. 3 of 3 from the field. That's not bad.
Lakers talk continues here on 710 ESPN. Here's Alan Sliwa.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. How about Damian Jones last night? How about him taking advantage of his opportunity? A little bit later in the show, we'll get into Damian Jones and that roster spot for the Lakers, and if he gets another opportunity at another 10-day contract. I want to just continue this chat, this conversation about how the Lakers are doing up to this point. Like I mentioned, I think they're in a great spot, and I think looking at things big picture, I don't know what more we can really ask for. I would say that before the injury to Anthony Davis, before Dennis Schroeder was out, one of the things I was complaining about was the Lakers were disinterested, right? They're coming into a lot of these games where you don't feel like they have they're fully there. They're fully focused. Well, part of that also had to do with they felt like they can just kind of get through the regular season. I'm not saying that's the right strategy or anything like that, but that was one of the only things that I was complaining about early on in the season. And then when Anthony Davis goes down in the Denver game, and after that, just obviously now is going to miss games through the All-Star break, and we'll see how much further after that. One of the things that kind of went through my mind was, now things will actually get interesting. Now the Lakers are in a position where they'll face kind of adversity for the first time this season. Then Dennis Schroeder, right before tip-off, is told that he can't play in the Brooklyn game, and it was contract tracing. He was going to have to sit out 1 week, 7 days. There was 4 games in there. Lakers go 0-4. I will say that Dennis Schroeder coming back into the mix and just kind of seeing his impact these last couple of games, that's a critical piece. That is such a critical piece for the Lakers. Dennis Schroeder, And I don't want to make it sound like, all right, Dennis Schroeder is Anthony Davis. I know that that impact is completely different. But for this Lakers team, this Lakers roster, if you're already missing Anthony Davis, I've made this case a couple times that I think Dennis Schroeder is the third most important player on this roster. And that's not to devalue or take anything away from Montrezl Harrell, but I feel they just don't have anything close to what Dennis Schroeder brings to the table. They don't. I think that's why Rondo was so impactful to the Lakers last year. Another guard that can get to the basket, create for themselves, get to the free throw line, put pressure on defenses. By the way, very underrated from a defensive perspective of how he plays on the defensive side of the ball as well. So I look at Dennis Schroeder, and I think it shouldn't just be because of these last two games we start seeing his value. I think just the mere fact that he has all these qualities that he brings to the table. You know, one of the things I saw these last couple of games, which it's been a long time since we've probably got a chance to watch or listening here on the broadcast, when LeBron goes to the bench, doesn't it feel like LeBron can actually get a breather when Dennis Schroeder's in the game, that you still got a quarterback that's on the floor? You still got somebody that can orchestrate the offense. You still got somebody that when things are on click and okay, give it to him and he can make something out of nothing. And even when AD is a part of the Lakers, that doesn't always happen. Because AD is not going to dribble the ball 23 feet away from the basket, call for a screen and roll. You know, AD's got a skill set. His skill set is not, I'm going to bring the ball up the floor and orchestrate the offense. That's not, there's no purpose of Anthony Davis doing it. But for Dennis Schroeder, it's incredibly important. It's incredibly, incredibly important that, you know, obviously that that calls for the Lakers and that calls in each one of these games. Okay, let me grab a couple quick phone calls here. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of this conversation. Let's start with Steven in Orange County. What's going on, Steven? Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thank you for taking my call today.
You got it, man.
Hey, just really quick, just want to touch on the Lakers. I just got in the car and I heard you mention that they're still currently second best record in the NBA. You know, they're really fortunate. You know, about the last 20 to 25 games, they really haven't producing as many W's as they used to. You know, they're not playing as great as they were in the beginning of the season, but injuries are hitting them right now. They're slowly starting to find their way out of this funk, it seemed like, with that W last night against the Warriors. But my main concern is going to be defense overall. Even when AD does come back, when Schroeder's 100%, defense is my main concern with this squad. That's going to be the number one way to repeat as champions.
Well, I will say this. By the way, just look at these last two games. What did you think these last two games? Because I think they gave up 93 to Portland, and yesterday I want to say they gave up 91, something along those lines. Did you think these last two games, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, they actually started playing some defense. They're keeping teams under 100. You know, when we were playing those back-to-backs to Houston, you know, last week and such, you know, they were lighting us up. You know, they were scoring and they were embarrassing us. And I just believe it all comes down to defense. That squad's going to produce about 100 and I'd say 10 points per night. LeBron's going to do his thing. Our bench is incredible. Our depth is good. It's just defense, man. If they can keep teams to under 100, we'll win every night.
Appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man. Which, by the way, let me say this. You know, keeping teams under 100 in today's NBA, yeah, that's not common. That's not common at all. I want to make sure that I want to make sure that I'm accurate on this before I say it. But Lakers have pretty much had the best defensive rating in the NBA this season, and that's with some of their struggles that they've had, and that's with Anthony Davis missing, like I mentioned, 32% of the games. I do think they're fortunate in a sense, right? Fortunate that with some of the obstacles that have been presented to the Lakers, that they're still second-best record in the NBA. I wouldn't expect them to have the second-best record. I got a chance, I think it was yesterday, before the game. I can't remember if it was yesterday, it was before the Portland game. Coach Vogel takes, you know, does these Zoom calls right before the game, and one of my questions to him was, how much does, when you guys are actually playing defense and it's, you have a stint like they did in the second half against Portland or pretty much all 48 minutes against Golden State. When you play that type of defense, how much does that get your offense going? He says everything. One works when one is when one is excelling, it helps the other. So if the Lakers are playing fantastic defense, all of a sudden those jumpers might be falling. Or all of a sudden that confidence might be there to go to the basket and say, you know what, I don't care who's in the middle. I'm going to go get two free throws, whether I hit the shot or I don't, and vice versa. So, yes, the cliche, the defense wins championship. We don't even have to look past October. Lakers played lockdown defense in that bubble. That's how they won a chip. Scooter in L.A., what's going on, Scooter?
Hey, Alan, how you doing?
Good, man. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I just wanted to say when AD went down, I think they had 9 games left before the All-Star break, and I said, well, they go 6-3, that'd be good. But then Shooter went out, and I said, oh, my God. So I said, well, if we go 4-5 or even 3-6, we're going to take that. But then we won his last two, and if the Shooter would have been playing, I really do would have been We won two of those games, and they lost.
I was just going to say, and, you know, Scooter, and I tried kind of emphasizing this, and I appreciate you calling in. We're going to get to Dave McMenamin here in a second. I tried mentioning this a couple different times, and this ain't breaking news or anything like that. Shooter plays in those 4 games, you're taking at least 2 of them. And that's what Scooter is mentioning right there. You're taking 2 of them. You are. You're beating Miami, who you lost to by 2. And you're beating the Wizards, who you lost to in overtime by 3. Listen, Lakers should have beat the Wizards. What'd they have? 16, 17-point lead, something along those lines. They should have beat the Wizards. If Dennis Schroeder is just playing in those games, you'll have a much closer game against Brooklyn. Fine, give Brooklyn that game. They hit 22 threes. They were fantastic in that game. Give Brooklyn that game. Give Utah that game in Utah as well. They were excellent as well. But those 2 games are a lot more interesting if just Dennis Schroeder's in the game and not Anthony Davis. And I do think that that would have kind of played into the mix there, but it is what it is. So I went on NBA.com, and I'm looking at defensive rating. So for those who, you know, this part is interesting because there are a lot of games where you think the Lakers aren't playing good enough defense or they got to do better on that side of the floor, whatever the case is. Number one defensive rating team in the NBA is the Lakers. So believe it or not, that's where the Lakers sit right now. Number one defensive rating in the NBA is the Lakers. So Lakers, 105.1 is their defensive rating. How about the Knicks? New York at number 2, Utah at 3, Phoenix at 4, and then the Golden State Warriors at 5. That's right. Warriors were coming in. They were top 4. Lakers were first, and Golden State was 4th. So just kind of gives you an idea on that front. All right, Dave McMenamin covers the Lakers for ESPN. He's coming up next. We'll get a chance to get his thoughts on how the Lakers are doing and these last 2 games before the All-Star break. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, Laker fans, appreciate you guys tuning in. Go till 9 p.m., as I mentioned. Lakers-Phoenix tomorrow. By the way, you know, I actually really think we got a dogfight on our hands tomorrow. It's going to be a tough game. This is going to be one of those games where it means an incredible amount for the Phoenix Suns. And for the Lakers, you just got to be ready. And obviously with Dennis Schroeder back, looking forward to that matchup. I want to welcome in Dave McMenamin, covers the NBA and the Lakers for ESPN. What's going on, Dave? Thanks for doing this, bud.
You got it, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. You know, I'll actually kind of just start with tomorrow's game. I got this feeling that this is going to be incredibly important to the Phoenix Suns. Not that it's not important to the Lakers, but Phoenix, just a game and a half in the standings with the Lakers. Of course, they're playing good basketball. Devin Booker and Chris Paul have been great. DeAndre Ayton has been great. What do you think of tomorrow? What should we be expecting from Phoenix, and how tough of a matchup is this?
They're a really good team. You know, when you talk about tiers of potential champions this year, you're going to start with the Lakers being the defending title holders, and the Clippers and the Sixers and the Nets, and you might include Utah in that top tier. But the next year, you know, you have Milwaukee, Denver. You know, maybe you talk yourself into Boston, and I think Phoenix is right there too. Phoenix is a team. If they were to acquire another piece between now and March 25th, you could look at them completely differently in terms of they're not just a tough out in the playoffs. They are a team with the potential to make a deep, deep run. And so this is a good test for the Lakers because the Lakers, let's be honest, they looked better against the Warriors than we've seen them play in a month. And that includes games when they had Anthony Davis. And so if they can take some carryover, what they found defensively against Portland, what they found offensively against Golden State, put those two things together, you know, they should be able to keep some momentum going into this break.
Dave, just your overall thoughts of the position that the Lakers are in. I spent some time starting the show, and, you know, it is kind of interesting with AD missing as many games as he has. Of course, Schroeder missed those four games. Lakers, the short offseason in between the championship and coming back. You surprised Lakers got the second best record in the NBA under the circumstances, or is this exactly where you expected they would be?
No, that's about where I think they would be because they certainly had the disadvantage of the super short offseason. They had the advantage of the continuity, the confidence, and the talent. You know, you have two of the top five players, or let's even expand it to the top seven players in the league in LeBron and Anthony Davis. And so that should put your ceiling pretty high to begin with and your basement pretty high to begin with, I should say. Like, if everything goes wrong, this is still a pretty good Lakers team. And they've had a couple things go wrong, you know, nothing traumatic, but obviously to miss Anthony Davis for a chunk of time, to have the contact tracing, you know, finally be the COVID biting them in the butt a little bit. You know, they mostly avoided it up until the end. And, you know, listen, this is who they should be, and especially if LeBron's going to go all out for 72 games in the regular season, like it seems to be his plan. Like, this is what they should be doing.
Dave McMenamin taking some time to join Lakers Talk, covers the NBA and covers obviously the Lakers for ESPN. Do you think any different on Dennis Schroeder and his impact on this team after not having him in the lineup to having him these last couple of games? Or is this is Dennis Schroeder, and, you know, the more he's with the Lakers and gaining that continuity with his teammates, this is the type of impact that he's going to have?
Yeah, I think he's been probably the third best Laker this year. It's probably, you could argue that Trez has been the third best, but Trez doesn't have the offensive responsibilities. I mean, he scores, but he doesn't organize the offense the way that Schroeder does. And so he's been huge for them. And he, much the same way Avery Bradley was kind of relied upon for last year's team prior to the bubble to set the defensive tone, that's the role that Schroeder has occupied for this group. And it's been just really straight production. You know, he was dynamite right out of the gates. He had a little bit of a lull. But to see him come back and, you know, him talk about how his wife said that he looked as happy as she's seen her and she's seen him in a long time, finally heading the 7-day quarantine end, and to go right out there, score 22 points, get 9 free throws against the Blazers and continue to bring it on both ends of the floor against Golden State. I mean, he's a really important piece. Now, the big question with him is, has he done enough so far to convince Laker management that it's not worth risking it and going into the offseason with him as a free agent and potentially losing him for nothing? And I don't know. I go back and forth with it. I understand the economics of what the Lakers could face. I understand the worst-case scenario if Schroeder was to leave for another team. But I also understand that, you know, his market value will largely be determined by how he performs in the playoffs. And a guy who covered the Lakers for a while on and off, you know, I remember a guy named Ramon Sessions, who the Lakers acquired in a trade, who was a little bit of an undersized guard, who really had a poor playoff showing alongside Kobe Bryant when the lights were, you know, upright. And, you know, Lakers were fortunate not to extend him before they saw that playoff run by Ron Sessions. Now, I guess Schroeder's a better player than Sessions. I'm not trying to insult him here. I'm just saying that sometimes it's nice to see what they do in the postseason before you commit to them long term.
Do you think that's how it will play out, or do you think that the Lakers try to get something done? It's interesting. Brian Windhorst, and I think Bobby Marks was a part of the article earlier today, and it just talked about the Lakers and potential luxury tax implications next season. You start looking at contracts this past summer where you could kind of get some good comps and say, okay, well, this player signed for 4 years, $72 million, or Fred Van Fleet went for 4 years, $85 million. You think the Lakers wait, or you think this potentially gets done?
I think it's too early to tell because, as we know, the pressure's on Rob Pelinka and the Lakers front office to improve this team between now and March 25th when the trade deadline occurs. And so how they go about that could affect how their books look, and how their books look could affect their urgency to find a deal with Schroeder right now versus, kind of gambling and seeing how he does in the postseason and recognizing that if he does have a really strong postseason, you might be paying him at a premium. But at the same time, that's kind of what you want to do, right? If he helps them win a championship, then okay, open up the purse strings, because that means he's the right guy for the job.
Dave McMenamin, who covers the NBA and covers ESPN, covers the Lakers for ESPN, joining Lakers Talk. Dave, it's interesting because this is kind of an interesting 30 days or so in the NBA where, obviously the trade deadline, the buyout market. Lakers have two roster spots. Of course, they got a 10-day contract now with Damian Jones. But just keeping all that in mind, what do you think, if the Lakers are active and they go out and try to get somebody, what type of player do you think should be the biggest priority? And it doesn't have to be a name. Just in general, what kind of position do you think is of need of the Lakers?
Well, the Lakers looked so good against Golden State, in part because of their defense, but a large part because they shot it well from three. They're a different team when they shoot it well from three. LeBron James is a far more effective player when he's able to use his ability to pick apart a defense and throw cross-court skip passes, and the guy who catches it for a wide-open shot actually makes it. And so to me, I think finding a shooter should be at the very top of their list because they have guys who can shoot, but the designated shooter role doesn't seem to be so secure at the moment. Now, KCP was lights out for a month to start the year, and he's has his bona fides. He did it in the postseason last year. So maybe you feel pretty comfortable with him, but beyond him, Alex Caruso's percentage has gone down, LeBron's percentage has gone down, AD's percentage has gone down. Wesley Matthews hasn't found his footing yet with this team. So a shooter, I would say, would be a very high priority. And then, quite frankly, Damian Jones was excellent in his debut, but he came up with a strained back, and he's questionable for tomorrow's game against Phoenix. We don't even know if we'll see him out there. And I don't know if he'll be the option, but find another big man. It just makes sense because Marcus Gasol has had his moments. He hasn't been a complete bust. I know statistically his numbers are very underwhelming, but at the same time, the team has performed quite well in terms of plus-minus, in terms of defensive efficiency with him on the court. So it's not like he doesn't deserve a spot in the rotation, but I would like to find something, if you can, to shore up the center position as well, because the formula last year for the Lakers was two really good backup centers who could both start playing alongside AD, who's going to play 60% of his minutes in the postseason at center anyway.
Dave, what's your thoughts on the rest of the Western Conference, just the way things are shaping out? I know getting our first opportunity to see the Lakers and the Jazz, that was really tough to assess that one. And we got two more games coming up in April that I think will certainly help. Hopefully both teams are healthy. But what's just your overall thoughts on the Western Conference and some of the competition that rounds up the, you could say, top 10 teams in the West or so?
Yeah, I mean, the Jazz, I think, have lost maybe two out of three since they look completely dominant against the Lakers. The Lakers team missing two starters. The Jazz are a good team. Like, they're not going to disappear. I think they'll be a top three seed in the West and be a tough out in the playoffs. You know, the Clippers are the team I still think are the main competition for the Lakers in the West. They have had their own share of injuries and guys in and out of the lineup, and they've lost some bigger games as of late. They lost two against the Nets. They lost one against the Bucks. But they're a team, when things are clicking, can get it done on both ends. And so that's a team I think you look for. And I think Denver's a great matchup for the Lakers. Not too worried about them in terms of the Lakers' chances. Dallas, not too worried about them in terms of Lakers' chances. I think Phoenix will be an interesting one. You know, Phoenix has veteran leadership. It has dynamic scores. It has shooters. It has a big man who, you know, can play above the rim in DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, there's a challenge to the Lakers' defense right now. So that's one that I think would cause me a little bit more pause, and could be a tough series. But, you know, beyond that, I don't think you're really looking at any other team in the Western Conference and saying, like, they have any shot of beating a healthy Lakers team in a playoff series.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. And I look at, you know, you try to kind of gauge the first half of the season, but I hesitate because, you know, the Lakers' goals in February or March or whatever the case is are going to be different than some of the other teams out there. I think Utah definitely is going to try to play for the number one seed. The Clippers, you know, aren't you supposed to go through these tough trials and tribulations? And if last year wasn't, and if they don't have as much motivation as any other team out there, I'm curious to see how they'll be come playoff time. But it seems like there's tiers in the Western Conference, and certainly at least to start the season, Lakers, Clippers, and Utah are really the only tiers in that first tier. Dave, I appreciate the time. I thank you for obviously giving us your thoughts, and we'll do it again soon. All right.
Okay. Good deal. All
right.
Bye, Alan.
Thanks, Dave. All right, that's Dave McMenamin right there. He said something about Dennis Schroeder that I want to get into, because the Lakers do technically have a decision to make, right? Do they try to give a contract to Dennis Schroeder now, or do they wait till the offseason, see how he does in the playoffs and everything else? I think that's an interesting conversation for the Lakers. I think that's an interesting wrinkle for the Lakers. And I thought Dave mentioning, well, you know, you're also trying to improve this year's roster, and you're worried about trying to win this championship rather than, you know, looking big picture for next year and everything else. Let's talk about that when we come back. I got some comps here, some contracts. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Fred VanVleet, DeJounte Murray, all these guys that Brian Windhorst and Bobby Marks put in their article today talking about the Lakers and what luxury tax implications can be for next year. We'll bring that up coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you guys being a part of the show. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, quick shout out. Thank you to Valvoline Instant Oil Change being a partner here on Lakers Talk. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons today. Thank you to our newest sponsor there, one of the new sponsors to the show. Okay, so Dave McMenamin, we spent some time talking about Dennis Schroeder for a quick second. I'll throw this out there if you guys want to give your thoughts or opinion on it. Should the Lakers try to lock up Dennis Schroeder now? Now's the time to try to lock him up, or wait till the offseason? You're in the middle of obviously trying to finish off this season, try to go back-to-back, 877-710-ESPN. I think what's going to be interesting, too, is what's that dollar figure going to be like for Dennis Schroeder? What is it going to be like? I read this article today. It was a great article on ESPN.com. Small website, Curtis. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Startup company. It was on ESPN. And the article, Brian Windhorst and Bobby Marks, is just kind of paying attention to, it's really talking about the luxury tax that the Lakers might have to face for next season. So they obviously gave AD a big contract. LeBron, they signed to an extension. Kuzma's new contract will kick in. And if you're going to go out, you know, as an example, and bring back Talen Horton-Tucker and Alex Caruso and Montrezl Harrell, you know, that's just a that's a player option. So we'll see what Montrezl Harrell does after this season. And then you got to, you know, kind of come into play. What is Dennis Schroeder going to be in the open market? So if you don't know what Dennis Schroeder is making right now, he's making about $15.5 million. And this is the final year of his contract. He signed a four-year, $61-62 million deal. So pretty much getting $15.5 million every year over the last 4 years, and this is the final year. So he's only 27 years old. So he's walking into his prime. By the time next season starts, he's going to be 28 years old. And they usually say that your prime is 28 to 32. LeBron disagrees. LeBron thinks his prime's 36. But keeping that in mind, so the article lays out some of the contracts that are out there right now that signed in the offseason. Bogdan Bogdanovic, if you remember, was with Sacramento, ended up signing with the Atlanta Hawks, got 4 years, $72 million. Fred VanVleet, a big piece for the Toronto Raptors, a champion, got 4 years, $85 million. DeJounte Murray, a nice player as well, 4 years, $64 million. So it just kind of gives you an idea. I don't know how much the Lakers will spend or what the value of Dennis Schroeder is monetarily, right? What is he? It's good that my Siri just tried talking to me right in the middle of a conversation here. But I'm spending time, you know, obviously trying to figure out, what would that dollar amount be? Well, if he's making $15.5 million now, he's walking into his prime, he's having a good season. And you got to also base this off of his numbers are going to come down because Anthony Davis, he's playing with AD and LeBron James. I mean, of course he's going to make more than his current contract. So that means, where are you, 18 to 20 million a year? I'm trying to figure out if I think he's the most important player after Anthony Davis and LeBron James. In my opinion, he's the most important player on this Lakers roster after Anthony Davis and after LeBron James. He's probably going to be making $20 million a year, or right around that. And, you know, whether that has to be determined now or that comes in the offseason, I'm sure Rob Pelinka's figuring out what's in the best interest of obviously the organization, and Dennis is doing the same thing for himself. But I take a second to think about Schroeder. He's a key piece. He's critical to the Lakers' success. I mean, his skill set and what he brings to the table for the Lakers is so important, and I think we've obviously seen it these last couple of days. We'll see how things, you know, eventually play out on that front. But you got to just imagine that he's going to eventually get some pretty good money. Takes a huge burden off the Lakers, takes a huge burden off LeBron James when he's in the games. He's going to make some good money this offseason. But I almost don't want to pay attention. You know, I'm go back to this article again. I almost don't want to pay attention to next season. You're in the thick of things right now. You got a legitimate shot to win two NBA championships with LeBron James, a legitimate shot to grab two chips in Anthony Davis's first 2 years with the Lakers. It's tough for me to think about next season. You know, you want the team, you almost want the team to just go all in every year that they got LeBron James, because you just don't know how many years or how many opportunities that you're going to get with him to win a chip. So I don't pay any attention to next season yet. I don't think of the luxury tax or any of that stuff yet. Not that that's something that we got to think about. That's obviously the organization and deciding how much they want to pay into the luxury tax if they're going to go sign all these players. But I'd be fine if the Lakers didn't negotiate a deal until the offseason with Dennis Schroeder. I would. I don't think that's, you know, make it or break it for the Lakers right now to worry about that. What you're really paying attention to is the trade deadline coming up, the buyout market of improving your roster. Yesterday was a good example. We got the first chance to see Damian Jones yesterday. and he comes in for the Lakers. I think he had 8 points and 3 rebounds, a couple block shots, went 3 of 3 from the field. He did something in his first game with the Lakers where now you kind of start questioning, hey, maybe he's the guy that's going to fill in that slot of a rim protector. Maybe now all we got to worry about is a 3-and-D guy, or as Dave McMenamin was saying, another shooter for the Lakers. I would love that attention to be, and it's not like you can't focus on both, but doesn't it feel like at this point of the season, where the Lakers are sitting, being in the thick of everything right now, trying to improve this year's roster if there are some opportunities to do it, and being one of the small handful of teams that have a legitimate shot at winning an NBA championship, it's tough to think about next year. It really is. It's tough to, you know, pay attention that far down the road. And I think it's just because you're so close to potentially doing it again. And, you know, I think a lot of people obviously agree with that. It is kind of funny how everything changed in the last, let's say, last 72 hours, last 3 days. Coming into that game on Friday against Portland, the sky was falling, and then all of a sudden Lakers win 2 games in a row, and everybody's saying, hey, no, Lakers, that's the favorites to win it all. And I know this happens in sports, right? You just kind of come off of the heat of the moment. But, man, when you're missing two key guys like the Lakers were, I don't know how they would have a shot in any of those games. I mean, personally, you know, the fact they were even in it against Miami I thought was impressive. They should have beat Washington because they had a 16-17-point lead. Okay, this is what I want to do when we come back. So we got our top NBA stories coming up. I'm going to take more phone calls at 8:15. So if you want to be a part of the show, 8:15, I'll take some more calls. 877-710-ESPN is the phone number. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.